Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, gearing up for the NCAA tournament. And again, you can continue to call right now at 637-5625. It's 637-5625. Call in right now and get your random team for the NCAA tournament. We'll draw you a team during our current interview, our next segment with Jamison Welsh, I believe, the hypenba.com. So keep dialing in right now at 637-5625. Jamison, it's great to get you back on the show. Always a pleasure. I know it's March Madness right now. You join us to talk NBA basketball. We'll loop that back around and talk some college hoops. I appreciate you joining us today.
Oh, not a problem at all. Thanks for having me, as always.
March Madness, I mean, you're right in the heart of Las Vegas. This is a big time of the year for you.
Oh, it's the best time of the year. We get to see four different conference tournaments. Get to see two of the major ones, the WCC, of course, with Gonzaga and St. Mary's, and, of course, the Pac-12. This year was special because you had three teams in the top 10. You had guys that are going to be lottery picks and guys that are going to be first-round picks. So it was really good watching them up close and personal. And also you had some rivalries and you had a lot of bad blood. So it's always good watching the Pac-12 tournament out here.
Let's talk about some of the players that people should definitely keep an eye on over the next few weeks as March Madness transitions into the month of April even. I know we get tournament action actually kicking off. Tomorrow's the first big day for the tournament to kick off. There's no doubt about it. But as far as players go, in your mind, who's the most interesting player in this year's tournament?
Man, that's a great question. I think we know about the Ball kid. We know a little bit about Tatum because he's at Duke, and those who follow high school basketball and AAU, you know a little about Jason Tatum. But Lauri Markkanen at Arizona, the Finnish kid, he's the guy that is the interesting guy because he's a big that if he shows up in this tournament, Arizona can win this whole thing. He's the guy that at 7 foot, he can put the ball on the floor, can shoot it, can rebound it, plays a little defense. He's the guy that's very interesting. He's probably the most unique player in this country right now that's still playing. So he's the guy to me that I have a lot of intrigue around these next few games.
If previous March Madness NCAA tournaments have proven anything, it's that bigs can really help their draft stock. You and I were talking about this off the cuff. You bring him up from Arizona. I'm also going to bring up Zach Collins from Gonzaga. Together, these are probably the two best seven-footers in the country, and because of that, I think a lot of eyes are going to be on these two individuals because they could definitely help their draft stock. Both are probably lottery picks, or at least close there to it, come NBA draft time, because again, if you're 7 foot, you're 230, 240, you can knock down an outside shot. Teams are going to look at you. These are two interesting players, probably at the top of my board, Jamison, from a big standpoint.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, when it comes down to it, Zach Collins is a guy that, he could start for probably 90% of the teams in the country right now. I mean, he's that good. He's a kid from Las Vegas, Bishop Gorman, played on I believe he won four straight state championships out here. He's that good. He's a really good player. He's a guy that's talented. He can do a lot of things on the court. And he's a strong kid for a guy with his body type. He's a strong kid for what he does. So watching him is going to be interesting to see as well because he's Gonzaga's sixth man. Like, he doesn't even start for Gonzaga. With that being said, he's still their highest draft prospect on the roster by far. So we'll see what happens with him. But his game is going to translate well to the next level because of what he can do. And also, he's a true seven-footer. I kind of want to see how he operates when the pressure is on. He played well out here in Vegas. He had a big three with Gonzaga last week out here in the conference tournament. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting to see. But I do like Zach Collins. I do like Lauri Markkanen a lot. But there's a lot of guys out here that can kind of help or hurt their draft stock. But when it comes to bigs, it's kind of interesting because it's not really a big draft anymore. It's more right now the draft is all about guards and wings. If you got guards and wings, that's what the NBA is looking for. Big guys, look at the guy at Syracuse, Swinigan. He's a big guy, and 10 years ago, he'd be great. Now it's like, is he going to get drafted in the first round? That's the crazy part, but that's where we are right now.
Last year, Ben Simmons goes number one in the NBA draft. LSU does not play in the NCAA tournament, I think it's a real possibility that once again we could have an individual go number one in the NBA draft and not play in the NCAA tournament in Markelle Fultz. So outside of Lonzo Ball, is Fultz probably the best point guard in the country that you've seen this year? I know that you could probably make a case for De'Aaron Fox as well, and there's several names that float out there. But again, I mean, we could potentially be talking about another guy here in a couple of months that did not play in the NCAA tournament, and that's crazy to think about.
It is crazy, but it's not his fault. Lorenzo Romar has had a lot of talented teams, and for whatever reason, they don't get to the tournament. I'm not going to blame the player. The coach is obviously at fault here with a pattern like that. At the same time, the player is looking at the school that helps him get to the NBA. So it's a weird, definitely a weird balance. It's a weird situation. But yeah, there's a huge possibility that the number one pick has not played in over a month. You know, there's a very strong possibility that has taken place, and that's why Markelle Fultz had a sore knee, quote-unquote, and has been resting ever since.
Again, our guest right now is Jamison Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. We're talking about the most interesting individual players to watch during March Madness. And again, you can dial in right now at 637-5625. Call in and get your team for the NCAA tournament. Remember, if they win, you win. It's that simple. Just dial in at 637-5625. That's 637-KOAL and get your team right now. Jamison, we'll talk about Duke. A lot of people on their brackets obviously have Duke going a long ways. They have two guys that are very interesting. Actually, they probably have three guys that are top 15 caliber, I think, in the NBA draft. Jason Tatum, though, is a guy that has soared as far as draft boards go. I don't know if it's necessarily the same soaring that we saw with Brandon Ingram last year, but nonetheless, he's an interesting player, and I think he could definitely help his stock with a solid couple of weeks of basketball.
Well, here's the thing. When it comes to a guy like Tatum or Josh Jackson, if they have a magical ride, if they have a magical six games, you start that argument for number one gets a lot stronger because everything is about what you've seen last. Everything is what you've seen recently. And if you see a wing dominate for six games, just straight out dominate and take their team to the promised land, then that number one pick gets very interesting because then the fans are like, hey, why isn't this guy number one? Or, hey, like, you know, GMs and agents are like, hey, why isn't this guy number one? And then they start creeping that conversation. So it would not surprise me if Duke goes on a run and gets to the Final Four and Tatum is their best player, which I think he is. It would not surprise me to see him gain a lot of traction for the number one pick. Same thing with Josh Jackson. If Kansas makes a big run and Josh Jackson is having great game after great game, it's one of those things to where, hey, you know, next thing you know, you have a situation where these guys are really, really, really putting pressure on the teams and the agents and whatnot. But also, we need to see the draft board, because if a team doesn't need a point guard, they're not going to just take Lonzo Ball just because. You know, like, for instance, either teams will make a move or teams will go in another direction. But it'll be very interesting to see what takes place. But I think the number one pick has four different options right now. I think leader in the clubhouse is Fultz, followed by Ball, followed by Tatum, and then coming back with Josh Jackson. Other than that, there's no one else in the discussion.
A team that a lot of people here in the state of Utah have obviously watched a lot is Oregon. And, you know, if we talk Pac-12 basketball, UCLA's got two guys that I think get top 15 grades. I think TJ Leaf is definitely, he's probably borderline top 10. Lonzo Ball has the potential to be the number one, two, or three pick, I think, in the draft. But Oregon is a team that is so interesting in my mind. And you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Jamison, but I take a look at this roster and I see some NBA talent. I just don't know how many Oregon players actually will draw first-round grades, and a lot of it has to do with their year in school. I mean, we're talking about several juniors, and scouts look down upon that. And I don't want to get too far off of the path here, but I mean, there's probably 3 to 4 Oregon players that draw NBA grades. Jordan Bell, Dylan Brooks. I just don't know if these guys are first-round prospects, which I think is even more impressive with what Oregon has accomplished this season.
Well, here's the thing, and I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. My thing is this. I think Dylan Brooks is a first rounder. I don't think there's 30 NBA. I don't think there's 30 other guys that are better players in this draft class than he is. You know, so you look at it like that, I don't think he's not a first rounder. With that being said, we might get in a situation where half the draft is from international guys again, and then that's a different story. But you can't tell me that there's 30 guys better than Dylan Brooks in this country that are draft eligible players. You can't. There's just not. So he should be a first rounder. You know, Tyler Dorsey, Jordan Bell, the big guy, always butcher his name, that just got hurt.
Boucher,
those
yeah.
Those guys are second round guys. I think Jordan Bell in the second round is a great pick. I think a guy 6'8", 6'9", physical guy that likes to rebound, energy player, that guy's going to be in the league a while. He's a good, good second round pick. But Dylan Brooks is a first round pick. He's a guy that can really, really play.
Before I let you go, Jameson, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's your Final Four this year?
Well, here's the thing. I'm still in the process of making it happen, but it's what I'm going to do. And here's my rationale. I'm going to go with Arizona to win it all. One, because they're at home. Two, because they're definitely due. I mean, how many times? And there's no Wisconsin there to really block them. But it's their time. I think they have an easier bracket than most people think. And also, they have a deep team. Their bigs go three deep. Their wings and guards can play. When Kobe Simmons is your fourth best guard, you're in pretty good shape. Fifth best guard, you're in pretty good shape. So I really like what I see. I think Sean Miller is a hell of a coach. I think Sean Miller is a very, very, very good coach. That is a guy that will not. You know, I think he'll continue to improve, and I think this is his year. I think having a guy that can take over offensively, all those teams that lost to Wisconsin a couple years ago or a few years back, they didn't have a guy that can take over offensively like Alonzo Trier can, where he can take his man and get a bucket or get fouled. Guys like Stanley Johnson and Aaron Gordon were very good players, but they weren't that developed offensively to where they could take over a game and offensively to the point where they can dictate what takes place. And none of those teams had Markkanen. It's Markkanen. Can you pronounce it again?
I pronounce it Markkanen.
Markkanen.
Yeah.
None of those teams had one of those guys.
Right.
So with the team they have, I like Arizona. If they can get to the Final Four, they're going to have a huge home court advantage. I know the Final Four gets fans from everywhere, but best believe in Glendale, Arizona, with the Arizona faithful the way they are when they come to Vegas, best believe that place is going to be 70% plus Arizona fans. So I'm going to take Arizona to win it all.
I definitely can't work against that rationale. There's really no way to do it. Jameson, I appreciate you making time. Enjoy the NCAA tournament next week. Let's get back to NBA basketball. How's that sound?
Oh, that's perfectly fine. There's enough NBA for a while. We're going to be talking about NBA until June, so it's good to give some time to some time to college. It's pretty fun, but we'll definitely see. NBA pretty much takes care of itself. We know the storylines. We know what's going to happen. We're just waiting for everybody to get back with injuries, get back soon. So hopefully LaMarcus gets back, Kevin Durant, Kyle Lowry, all the big guys and even the small guys get back. Hopefully they get back as soon as possible.
Jameson, we'll talk next week. I appreciate the time.
Not a problem.
Continue to give us a call right now, 637-5625. We still have some spots available for our NCAA Bracket Challenge. You call in, we'll draw a random name. So keep the calls coming, 637-5625. More college basketball talk straight ahead.